Christ is gone. Morning, there were thunders and lightning. A great cloud settled on the mountain. The people trembled as they heard the voice of Elohim's own words. The sound of the ram's horn blasting. You shall be a kingdom of priests. You shall be a
holy. Shalom Aleichem, Mishpachat, Todd Tamer here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you so much for joining us again today. As always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, honor, praise, and worship, and everything in and of ourselves to the Father of our forefathers, Yahuwah El, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yahushua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Hashamayim mesaprim kevod El, uma'ata yadav magid harakia. The heavens declare the glory of Yah, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. We are told that these things bear witness, that they are telling us how things are going on the earth. If you think it's all going well, then you should have plenty of rain and not too much rain. You should have plenty of food and not too many bugs killing your food. You should have plenty of sun and not too much sun. I mean, it should all be in balance. And if it's not, then Abba's telling you, he's not happy.
Hallelujah. He says the earth, he created the earth to witness against us. Our scriptures tell us that the violence that we commit is stored up in the earth. And then it comes to a point to where the earth witness against us is in our headlines on a daily basis at an exponential rate. He also talks about earthquakes being in diverse places all over the world. And if you watched it week after week, year after year, like I do, and many other watchmen or people who look at these things do, try to testify to you, whether they know Yah or not, you cannot escape the changes that are happening on this earth. And of course, the enemy gives us a different storyline for those changes, a different idea, a different definition, a different reason for why they're occurring. And of course, it's your fault and you have to be exterminated.
That's right. And forget the fact that they're preparing and they know far more than what they're letting on.
Underground
and that's
bikers.
All over the news headlines too. If you want to look at it, if you will but put down your hardened, your programming and shift your paradigm. That's what we're trying to do here. This is the show is called Worlds in Collision, and they're being done off of Emmanuel Velikovsky's books. And the amazing witness and testimony he can bear to the veracity of the scriptures via his lifelong work of going around and getting the testimonies of every culture on the globe that actually bear witness to the Exodus and the events that happened on the earth when the Exodus happened, and many other
things. The flood.
Uh-huh.
Yeshua's coming. Hezekiah's time event where he stopped the sun and
Jericho.
Didn't stop the moon. Jericho, the Battle of Jericho, where he stopped both the sun and the moon. And there's been many other ages and chaos.
Yes. Another book of his.
It really slapped us upside the head, or me in particular, when I was reading Velikovsky. I'm way deeper in the book than what we're getting to you guys. But, when he said that it gives, well, he didn't say this exactly this way. This is what came to mind. It gives a whole new meaning to a new world order when you understand that the heavens above your heads changes on a regular basis.
That's right. And they don't want you to know that, because that's part of keeping you as the sheeple and keeping you busy fighting wars and fighting amongst each other, mm-hmm. and not, you know, rooting the evil out of your midst, so, and instead allowing it to perpetuate.
That's the way the program's set up, so that you will be focused just what's down here on your feet and looking around, and they get you set up for emergency response teams and tying a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree for the next war or for the next economic collapse. Just anything to keep your mind completely looking down at your feet and being concerned about your own flesh and how you're going to survive. And that is the big test today. What are you going to put your faith in? Just like of our peoples of old, the Hebrew people of old, it's not just the Jews who are the Hebrew people of Israel. There are 12 gates to go into this kingdom when his kingdom sets down upon this earth, and he says that he will gather all 12 tribes from the 70 nations. It doesn't matter what you've been taught about where the northern 10 tribes are or if they've disappeared or not. They still exist. exist, and they are underneath the mostly in the Western Empire, mainly in Europe, the United States, Australia, Canada. Those are the biggest populations of the people on the earth that don't know their roots. They go back to dig into European history, which most came from, to this country, and they can't find anything further back than the Dark Ages. And then all of a sudden, there's this big blank spot of where did you come from there? But you can talk to the Chinese culture. You can talk to the Chinese. They've got records going back for thousands of years exactly of their lineage and who they are. The Jews are not the only people on the planet that don't know who they are, where they came from. It's the northern 10 tribes of Israel with the different banners that Yah gave to us. Each one of those 12 tribes that are in the
diaspora?
No, what are they called? The shields of the royals and the houses of the royals.
Oh, yeah, the insignias or no, they're called, I don't know.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Okay. Anyway, so and to start this off today, I just want to read through a few of the headlines that went out on our latest newsletter.
Or is about to go out. And if you want the newsletter, petranch@dishmail.net. Or Todd or Tamara at HebrewNation.net, and you can see these headlines for yourself.
That's right. And the whole point of it is I try to find and get everything I can absolutely get, so it gets really long. And really, that what you should be doing with this newsletter is look at the individual different subsections, read the title, and then go down and look at the evidence. That's all I'm placing there. Is the exponential evidence that is increasing, especially with these earth matters in particular. Not only that, but also the demonic treatment that people are doing amongst one another, be it with war or if it's cops arresting people or caring for people. It's illegal to care for homeless in many cities now. In Sodom and Gomorrah, these are the things that were going on. And this is what we are going to, this is why this judgment is allowed to come upon us. He has a Torah physics universe that is run by the Torah. And that is there to take care of the heart of men. If we don't tend to those things, we get the results, which are all these things that are going on in the world, including the interactions that's going on with the earth, ourselves, and the sun, the moon, this planet, and the stars. And they teach you in a new age religion that you are gods. And yes, the things that you do have effects, but they teach you that you are the God that's creating them. No, it's the direct results of you breaking the law and not understanding how to rightly rule the heart.
So here's the first headline. Billions of caterpillars are eating their way across Washington. Peru experiences 3 earthquakes in one day. El Salvador evacuates 1,000 people near a volcano. Huge sinkhole opens at a Tennessee football stadium. A California drought is to cost farmers $1.7 billion. Floods affect over 1 million in the Balkans, and the destruction is terrifying. The warm Pacific may cause U.S. winter freeze, study finds. Lake Powell less than half full. See the impacts from space. 70-foot sinkhole opens in Tampa supermarket parking lot. Pacific horror show from Mexico to Alaska. Millions/tons of creatures are dying. New study shows world is on the brink of the 6th great extinction. The Ethiopian volcano spews stunning, deadly blue gas.
That was a crazy picture looking at that one. And here's just a couple more.
Pictures of Mount Sangean on Sangean Api's 12-mile-high ash cloud over the Indonesian island. LA's second earthquake this weekend was upgraded from a 3.8 magnitude to a 4.2. Hundreds of Colburn area residents are briefed on the mudslide dangers.
Because there was a big mudslide that just happened here in Colorado, and what we're pressing on here is that the way Abba rules this world and shakes things up is it's by the process of catastrophism.
Yep. That's good. Keep going.
Versus uniformitarianism, which is in direct relation to evolution. The uniformitarianism says exactly what Scripture says that we will be doing in our corruption of our own hearts. We will say that things have always been this way. Nothing's ever going to change. Nothing's going to happen in my lifetime.
So Scripture warns us that we're going to be foolish enough to say that. Uh-huh. And in reality, it's absolutely changing, and there is scientific witness like Velikovsky that proves to you how much it's changing and what the changes are from.
Up. They murdered the scientists, yep. and they still are doing it today, yep. making them, especially astronomers. We did whole shows on how many astronomers have been killed ever since, especially since the 50s. The 50s is when the Cosmos Club came in. You look that up. Carl Sagan's a part of it. These are all the boys that toe the party line.
So that you won't look up and that you'll think it's the devil's work to look into outer space.
Because you won't get any relation to the scriptures, because what they're out to do is destroy the Torah, the Word, Yeshua HaMashiach, the living Word out of all people on this planet. It's a war upon religion, and everyone's going to agree upon that. They're setting the world up to say that religion is the problem with all things between peoples on this earth. Yes, it is the problem with things with all people on this earth, because each religion and each culture want to do as thou wilt, and if anything threatens that, the cultures begin to prepare for war. This is an unending cycle that we have to stop repeating over and over again. And the only thing that is for certain, for sure, that's testified by all creation is that Torah, how Yeshua HaMashiach walked it out in the heart, and understanding that the heart is directly related to all things.
And so
what I was getting on with this Colorado mudslide is if you look at the pictures of this thing, you can see in a moment's time how a 500 to 600 foot waterfall can be created just from a simple mudslide. So then you go after about a few hundred years, all that mud and stuff, the 4 mile long slide rolled down the mountain. All that stuff just becomes trees and plants and everything again with a river going through it. And you're looking at this beautiful 500 to 600 foot waterfall with all these rocks and everything. Wow, this must have happened millions of... No, it happened in seconds. And that's what Velikovsky is saying over and over again. That's what the scriptures in 1800-plus scriptures command us to look at.
Now, doesn't Velikovsky have another book called Earth in Upheaval?
Yes, the Earth in Upheaval,
Chaos. That gives you an idea. Earth and upheaval. Well, when you read the scriptures, what you hear are terms of mountains rising out of nowhere, mountains falling into hills, into oceans. Yeah, the whole concept of what happened during the Exodus. These are celestial concepts. These are the effects of magnetic forces upon the earth, literally ripping and tearing and pressing and pushing mountains into existence.
The relationship between the sun, oceans, moon, planet, into stars, existence. Comets.
Animals dying. Fires created out of nowhere. Waterfalls out of nowhere. I mean, it is a massive... momentary thing that happens in a space of time. This is not an evolutionary idea. No. So this is what is so important about these witnesses, these valid witnesses that Velikovsky collaborated and correlated in his books. And so last week what we were talking about was we were on the hail of stones, where we found that the word hail was actually the word for meteorite or stone that was coming down upon the people in Egypt. And he quoted scriptural references and
Egyptians. This is at the time of the Exodus. This is what he's focusing on, yes.
Yep, and Egyptian eyewitnesses. And we're about to hear a Buddhist text, an Indian witness. And it says the description of such a catastrophe is found in the Visuddhi Magga, a Buddhist text on the world cycles. When a world cycle is destroyed by wind, there arises in the beginning a cycle destroying great cloud. There arises a wind to destroy the world cycle. And first it raises a fine dust, and then coarse dust, and then fine sand, and then coarse sand, and then grit, stones, up to boulders and as large as mighty trees on the hilltops. The wind turns the ground upside down. Large areas crack and are thrown upwards. All the mansions on earth are destroyed in a catastrophe when worlds clash with worlds. Well, the Mexican Annals of Cuauhtitlan describe how a cosmic catastrophe was accompanied by a hail of stones in the oral tradition of the Indians. Two, the motif is repeated time and again. In some ancient epoch in the sky, or epic in the sky, rained not water, but fire and red hot stones, which is not different from the Hebrew tradition. Now, the next paragraph it's called Naphtha. And that's it says crude petroleum is composed of two elements, carbon and hydrogen. The main theories of the origin of petroleum are, number one, the inorganic theory that hydrogen and carbon were brought together in the rock formations of the earth under great heat and pressure. The second theory is the organic theory that both hydrogen and carbon, which compose petroleum, come from the remains of plant and animal life, in the main from microscopic marine and swamp life. The organic theory implies that the process started after life was already abundant, at least at the bottom of the ocean. The tails of comets are composed mainly of carbon and hydrogen gases. Lacking oxygen, they do not burn in flight, but the inflammable gases passing through an atmosphere containing oxygen will be set on fire. If carbon and hydrogen gases, or vapor of a composition of these two elements, enter the atmosphere in huge masses, a part of them will burn. Binding all the oxygen available at the moment, the rest will escape combustion, but in swift transition will become liquid. Falling on the ground, the substance, if liquid, would sink into the pores of the sand and into clefts between the rocks. Falling on water, it would remain floating if the fire in the air is extinguished before new supplies of oxygen arrive from other regions. The descent of a sticky fluid, which came earthward and blazed with heavy smoke, is recalled in the oral and written traditions of the inhabitants of both hemispheres. The Popol Vuh, the sacred book of the Mayans, narrates, quote, "It was ruin and destruction. The sea was piled up. It was a great inundation. People were drowned in a sticky substance raining from the sky. The face of the earth grew dark, and the gloomy rain endured days and nights. And then there was a great din of fire above their heads. The entire population of the land was annihilated." In the manuscript called Quiche or Quiche, perpetuated the picture of the population of Mexico perishing in a downpour of bitumen. There descended from the sky a rain of bitumen and a sticky substance. The earth was obscured, and it rained day and night. And men ran hither and thither, and were as if seized by madness. They tried to climb to the roofs, and the houses crashed down. They tried to climb the trees, and the trees cast them far away. And when they tried to escape in caves and caverns, these were suddenly closed. A similar account is preserved in the annals of Cuauhtitlan. The age which ended in the reign of fire was called Quihuatontia, which means the son of the fire rain. And far away in the other hemisphere, in Siberia, the Vogels carried down through the centuries and millennia this memory. Quote, "God sent a sea of fire upon the earth. The cause of the fire they call the fire water. Half a meridian to the south in the East Indies, the aboriginal tribes relate that in the remote past, Sengaldas, or water of fire, rained from the sky. With very few exceptions, all men died. The eighth plague is described in the book of Exodus was Barad, meteorites, and fire mingled with the Barad. Very grievous. Such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation, Exodus 9:24. There were thunder, or loud noises, and barad. The correct term would be loud noises. And the fire ran along the ground, Exodus 9:23. Well, the papyrus Ippur describes this consuming fire. Quote, "Gates, columns, and walls are consumed by fire. The sky is in confusion." End quote. The papyrus says that this fire almost exterminated mankind. The Midrashim, in a number of texts, state that the naphtha, together with hot stones, poured down upon Egypt. The Egyptians refused to let the Israelites go, and he poured out naphtha over them, burning blains or blisters. It was a stream of hot naphtha. Naphtha is petroleum in Aramaic and Hebrew. The population of Egypt was pursued with strange rains and hails and showers inexorable, and utterly consumed with fire. For what was most marvelous of all, in the water which quenches all things, the fire wrought yet more mightily. Kind of like Greek fire, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the nature of burning petroleum. In the register of the plagues in Psalms 105, it's referred to as the flaming fire, and in Daniel 7:10 as a river of fire or fiery stream. In the Passover Haggadah, it is said that mighty men of Pul and Lud, Lydia in Asia Minor, were destroyed with consuming conflagration on the Passover. In the Valley of the Euphrates, the Babylonians often refer to the rain of fire vivid in their memory. All the countries whose traditions of fire rain I have cited actually have deposits of oil. Mexico, the East Indies, Siberia, Iraq, and Egypt. For a span of time after the combustive fluid poured down, it may well have floated upon the surface of the seas, soaked the surface of the ground, and caught fire again and again. Quote, "For seven winters and summers the fire has raged. It has burnt up the earth," end quote, narrates the Vogels of Siberia. The story of the wandering in the desert contains a number of references to fire springing out of the earth. The Israelites traveled 3 days' journey away from the mountain of the law-giving, and it happened that the fire of Yah burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp, Numbers 11:1. The Israelites continued on their way. Then came the revolt of Korah and his confederates, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. And there came out a fire from Yah and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. When they kindled the fire of incense, the vapors which rose out of the cleft in the rock caught the flame and exploded. Unaccustomed to handling this oil, rich in volatile derivatives, the Israelite priests fell victims to the fire. The two elder sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, died before Yah when they offered strange fire before Yah in the wilderness of Sinai. The fire was called strange because it had not been known before and because it was of foreign origin. If oil fell on the desert of Arabia and on the land of Egypt and burned there, vestiges of conflagration must be found in some of the tombs built before the end of the Middle Kingdom, into which the oil or some of its derivatives might have seeped. We read in the description of the tomb of Antfacher, vizier of Sesostris I, a pharaoh of the Middle Kingdom, quote, "A problem is set us by a conflagration, nearly deliberate, which has raged in the tomb, as in many another. The combustible material must not only have been abundant, but a light of nature, for a fierce fire which speedily spent itself seems alone able to account for the fact that the tombs so burnt remain absolutely free from blackening, except in the lowest parts. Nor are our charred remains found as a rule. The conditions are puzzling," end quote. So then it says, "And what does natural history tell us?" asked Philo in his On the Eternity of the World, and answered, "Destructions of things on earth, destructions not of all at once, but of a very large number, are attributed by its two principal causes, the tremendous onslaughts of fire and water. These two visitations, we are told, descend in turns after very long cycles of years. When the agent is the conflagration, a stream of heaven-sent fire pours out from above and spreads over many places and overruns great regions of the inhabited earth." And
scripture says he's going to destroy this earth again, once again, and cleanse it by fire.
"The rain of fire water contributed to the earth's supply of petroleum. Rock oil in the ground appears to be partly at least star oil brought down at the close of the world ages, notably the age that came to its end in the middle of the second millennium before the present era. The priests of Iran worship the fire that came out of the ground. The followers of Zoroastrianism or Mazdaism are also called fire worshippers. The fire of the Caucasus was held in great esteem by all the inhabitants of the adjacent islands. Connected with the Caucasus and originating there is the legend of Prometheus. He was chained to a rock for bringing fire to man. The allegorical character of his legend gains meaning when we consider Augustine's words of that Prometheus was a contemporary of Moshe. Torrents of petroleum poured down upon the Caucasus and were consumed. The smoke of the Caucasus fire was still in the imaginative sight of Ovid 15 centuries later when he described the burning of the world. The continuing fires in Siberia, the Caucasus, and in the Arabian desert and everywhere else were blazes that followed the great conflagration of the days when earth was caught in vapors of carbon and hydrogen. In the centuries that followed, petroleum was worshipped, burned in holy places. It was used for domestic purposes. Then many ages passed when it was out of use. Only in the middle of the last century did man begin to exploit this oil, particularly contributed by the comet of the time of the Exodus. He utilized its gifts, and today his highways are crowded with vehicles propelled by oil. Into the heights rose man, and he accomplished the age-old dream of flying like a bird. For this, too, he uses the remnants of the intruding star that poured fire and sticky vapor upon his ancestors." And the next part is going to get into the darkness.
Hallelujah. So, you know, you heard the Mayans, you're going to hear further along here in the book that the Mayans talked about the seas being piled up. Well, the scriptures also talk about the oceans and oceans leaving their basins. And I just want to mention this real quickly is that all the descriptions around the world of these seas being piled up is as a result of the electromagnetic interaction between another body coming in. As scripture describes it as Abaddon or the destroyer. And Apollyon is another word in the Greek name for his judgmental correction arm that's drawn in, I believe, by the corruption and the violence upon this earth. And it piles up. Even there's accounts that it's 1,600 miles high. Now let's bring this back home. We're taking a walk this past week. We're taking our walks, and we've got a little pond on our property, and there's a big pond next door. Both of them, we'd notice within a few days' time, dropped a foot of water, dropped by a foot. And that is very shocking, especially when we're having rains and things at this point in time. And we're reading this book because this morning, I'm a lot further along in the book, I'm reading, this just happened yesterday or the day before, and I'm reading Velikovsky talking about how comets and bodies passing by can actually stand and pile up the waters on this earth into 1,600-mile columns and also take it from this earth. It comes in from the plasma, the solar wind, interacting with our magnetic field, but as that's weakening 5% a year, according to the scientists of our world that everybody worships, it's weakening by 5% a year, so there's nothing to say that it could not draw the water out in fantastic fashion. So not only did that happen, but we also, for the first time ever, we've been gardening for 15 years up here at this elevation, we took our plants out, and within minutes, out of the greenhouse, and within minutes, every one of them, even the sun hardy plants, collapsed from the UV radiation that we've been seeing increase. And you can find reports about that all over the world, Mishpachat. So keep looking up everything, and hang on to your hats, because every heart shall melt in these days. Hallelujah.
Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.